My name is Justin Koski, and I will be interviewing Mr. Hugo Harvilla on today, February 17th, at his home in West Ishpeming.
Okay. First, I'm going to start off by just asking you questions about your stuff about your life and as a kid in it. So, when were you born? Is the first question. When
I was born in March the 19th, 1914. I'm an old guy, you know.
And what were your parents' names?
My mother was Ida Harvilla, and my dad was Steve Harvilla.
Okay. What did your parents do for a living?
My dad was a miner.
A miner? Underground miner?
Underground miner, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And your ma?
She didn't work. She was a housekeeper.
Yeah. Okay. What are the names of your brothers and sisters?
I had three brothers. There was three brothers of us. The oldest one, Edwin, died, and then Richard and myself.
Richard, okay.
And then my sisters are Mamie, Thelma, another kid now, Thelma, and Selena, Edna, and Martha.
Martha. Okay. When and where were you married?
I was married in Ishpeming at the parsonage over there in Ishpeming, and we were married in
1942. Okay, and what is your wife's name and where was she born?
My wife's name is Elsie. She was born in Ishpeming, but she's lived most of her life in Republic. Her single life is in the Republic.
Yeah. Okay, what are the names of your children?
Susan is the youngest, and Michael is my son about, the only two children we have is Susan and Michael.
Susan and Michael, okay. Where did you go to school? What school did you go to?
I went to the West Ishpeming School here in West Ishpeming. In West Ishpeming for the first 8 grades, and then I went to high school at in Ishpeming.
Them schools have been around for a while then. Okay, what memories stand out most in your mind about growing up in this area?
That's a tough one, eh? That's quite a vague question.
Yeah.
But my childhood, I would say, we had a lot of togetherness when we were kids. We'd have baseball teams and football teams and hockey teams and ski riding. We were younger, that is. Of course, we had our share of chores to do, too.
Yeah, chores and... Okay. Do you have any humorous or interesting stories about the kinds of things that you and your friends did as kids? Stand out in your mind.
And there's a lot of them, but geez, I just can't pinpoint.
Yeah.
Pinpoint any particular one. I mean, there's a, like I said, with the first question there about things we, yeah, like I said, we had our baseball teams and everything, football teams, and we played, we used to play one location against the other. We'd play, our team would play the North Lake team, and then we'd play the Junction team, and Barnum team, and
just like all different leagues.
Yeah.
Okay. How old were you when you first found your first job, and where did you work?
When I graduated from high school in 1932, I cut pulp for about a year, and then My dad was hospitalized with silicosis, so I took his place underground in the mine.
Oh, yeah.
So I was just 19 years old when I went underground working in the mine, at the Morris Mine.
Is that a tough job to do, underground mining? Like, what sorts of
things? Well, it was a... I was a, what they call cleaning track. You had a shovel. See, there's underground railroad tracks underground.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's tracks that go on little cars.
And we had I had to keep them clean and shovel into it. Just keeping them tracks clean so the motors would go through there.
Yeah. Okay. What did you do after then, after you were done underground mining?
Oh, yeah. Well, then after I quit in the mine in 1945, and I worked for the conservation department as a fire officer. Mm-hmm. And then I was there for about 5-6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And then I went, I quit them. And then I worked, then I went to working for the CCI in their chemical laboratory for until I retired. Mm-hmm. I retired in 1976.
Mm-hmm. So you're a chemical engineer kind of stuff?
Yeah. Analyst.
Yeah.
That's what they call it, chemical analyst.
Oh, yeah. Okay, then we'll go to the next question. Was it difficult finding your first job and jobs after that, or?
Well, I didn't, it wasn't difficult for me because I was more or less
there were a lot of openings in that age?
No, it was because my dad, this was during Depression. This was during the 30s.
The Great Depression.
The jobs were hard to come by then. And my dad not being able to work anymore on account of his silicosis, so the Inland Steel Company gave me the chance to take his place underground. Mm-hmm. That's why I got to work there. Otherwise, God knows how.
You might not have found a job,
yeah, that's right, because it was during the Depression.
Yeah. Jobs were hard to come by. Mm-hmm. After that, it was with the firefighting and that.
I was working with the conservation department as a firefighter and towerman and a fire warden. Then I'd work with the game wardens for every once in a while.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Please describe the duties of your first job as...
Shoveling.
Shoveling.
That is my first job underground.
Shoveling the ore into the little train deals, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you said you fought fire. Did you have to go and...
Oh, yeah, like... I'd be up... I'd be working on a different... Fire towers. Them days we had fire towers. Nowadays they got airplanes and spot fires. But in them days we had fire towers. They were anywhere from 80 to 110 feet high, and we would spot fires from there. And when we spot a fire, we'd have to call in, and then we'd have to go and fight that fire.
Yeah. Okay. In your lifetime, what places have you been employed? That's just...
Oh, I worked a little while at the flooring mill over here.
Oh, yeah.
That is when I was...
When
I was working for the conservation department, I'd be laid off in the wintertime because there was no fires in naturally in the wintertime. So I'd be laid off. So in order to make ends meet, well, then I'd have to look for a job. So I worked at the flooring mill for one winter.
During the winter?
Yeah. And I worked for Kalacha store here another winter.
That's where the gas station is now, right?
Yeah. No, that's right there. Yeah, I was where the gas station is now.
Yeah. Okay, and what job did you enjoy the most out of your life, and why?
Well, being underground for 7 years, I like to get on surface, and that's why I left the mine. I wanted to get on surface, away from the mine, so I worked for the conservation department. I liked that job because I'm an outdoor person anyway, and I used to enjoy going out like that. Mm-hmm. But the job that I retired from as an analyst at the lab there, at the Bishop lab, well, I enjoyed that too. It was something that I never had done before.
Mm-hmm.
See, because I never had any experience. I didn't even have chemistry in high school.
No.
So a little bit of, so I had to learn chemistry while I was working.
Yeah,
so I enjoyed that.
New experience for you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll go into the questions about the Riverside Club. No, because you're involved in that. And so, when was the Riverside Club first established? In what year?
1945.
Who were the original charter members for the club?
Well, I did mention one winter when I was working, when I was laid off in the conservation department, I worked for Douglas Barton in the body shop. Well, Douglas Barton and myself and Timer Corpy, we started that club. Three of us started that. We're the original members.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So there were three of you guys that mm-hmm. started it. And why was the Riverside Club built?
Well, it was built simply because during that time, during 45 and 44, 45, most of the people were people my age, where they were in the army.
Mm-hmm.
And Dougie Barton, and one of the owners, well, in fact, he owned that garage, and he moved the next door to me, and he just come from the copper country, and he was a stranger around here. He didn't have any friends around here. I mean, he wanted to make friends, but he didn't have any around here that he would. So he's the one that originally asked three of us. Three of us got together and we started a club.
Mm-hmm. So it's basically a place where you just meet new people and hang around. And
because he wanted to, him owning a business initially, he wanted to have friends and stuff, to go around.
Mm-hmm. I see. Okay, well, that question's pretty much answered. You. And what were the other two guys that started it?
Myself and Timer Corpy.
Yeah, Timer Corpy.
That's his nickname.
And who was the third guy?
Myself. Myself and Dougie Barton.
Oh, okay, Dougie Barton and Timer Corpy.
Yeah.
Okay. Where was the first club located in? What kinds of social activities went on there?
The club, the first club was located right adjacent to the club we have now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an old barn, more or less. It was an old tar paper, two-story building, kind of rickety, kind of shaky.
And like what kind of stuff did you do there? Did you have furniture and just
we had a pool table in there. We bought a pool table from a guy from downtown. What's his name? Regardless, it's an old tavern.
Yeah.
And we bought a pool table from him for $15. So we brought it to the club, and we used to play cards out there play pool, and we have dances out there and suppers and stuff.
Did you still have your cribbage league, and throw horseshoes in
that? No, we didn't have it then.
No, not yet.
They weren't even started then.
Yeah. How many members were there at that time? Like,
oh, I'd say we've maintained a pretty stable membership. We've had, our membership now is about 60. But then days, we must have been about 30, you know, about 25, 30 members.
Yeah, that's still pretty many, though.
Mm-hmm. We had good cooperation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what memories stand out most in your mind from those very early days of the club? Another vague question.
Well, what I remember most, and I hold that dearly, is the fact that when we got our club in on a paying basis, I wouldn't say paying basis, but where all our bills were paid and we picked up and saved up enough money, we went on a, 22 of us went on a, with five cars, we went to Milwaukee to a baseball, big league baseball game. And we had a, we stayed there, well, we left Friday, we left Friday and we come back Sunday night. So we watched Milwaukee, they weren't the Brewers then, they were Milwaukee Braves.
Yeah, Milwaukee Braves.
And they played St. Louis, so that's the only big league game that I ever saw. But I enjoyed it. We had a lot of fun, though.
It's a lot of fun watching them games. Okay, what was the most challenging part about establishing the club in the early days, 1945?
That was We had a lot of good people, a lot of dedicated people that helped. They worked their day shifts in the mines or night shifts in the mines, and while they were working, they'd come over to the club and work on the club.
Yeah.
I mean, we had a lot of good cooperation.
That helps. Okay, then. How did you go about making up the rules and regulations and stuff for the club?
Well, we had we formed a committee. We had a five or six man committee, and we'd meet together, and then each one, and we'd done this for about 2 weeks. 2 weeks in a row, and we'd meet everyone about 3-4 times in them 2 weeks, and then we'd have each member of the committee would have a new rule or something that he thought of during the during that interim time.
Yeah.
So we eventually set up a bunch of rules there, and the rules are even today there. We still got the same rules. And like I would say that the rule that's really adhered to is dues. And we figure that the dues is important in any formation of a club.
Yeah.
If you don't pay your dues, well, then your club isn't going to last.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that dues alone ain't going to support a club.
Have more than just okay, because that's another question. How was the club lasted over the years?
That's why it lasted, is simply because
a lot of cooperation.
Yeah, that's right, cooperation from the membership and you might call it respect too, because the club been in in existence for pretty close to 50 years now.
Yeah.
And if you didn't have that respect and cooperation, well, they'd never last that long.
Yeah. Okay. What do you feel are some of the club's most important rules and regulations?
Dues is the main one.
Dues.
Yeah. And then we got behavior rules, and we got closing time rules, you know.
Yeah. So. And special rules for women in that, do you?
Well, we see the women's club, they're on their own. I mean, we don't have nothing to do with the women's club. We let the women have the club 2 nights a month.
Mm.
So, they set their own rules, you know.
Okay. Okay, why was the club moved from its original building, to where it is now?
Well, simply because, like I told you before, the initial club was just a shack. It was cold and it was rickety, and I remember one time when we had a dance up. See, we had our dance floor up upstairs.
Second level,
yeah. And I remember once us having a dance there. Well, we had the pool table in the middle, and we'd be dancing around that little area on the pool table. And I could feel that the floor was under whip.
Yeah.
So
go on at any time.
So me and another lad, we went down the down in the garage part underneath that dance floor, and we started propping it up. So we were afraid that floor was gonna bust. If it would have, there'd have been a
couple of accidents.
Oh, yes, so. So that, like I said, we got that too.
Just to improve the standards.
Yeah. Well, then eventually, then we picked up enough. Well, the old club, see, we paid, I forget, $50 for that old club, more or less of a rent like. So then after everything was paid for, well, then we started on a new club. So in order to start the new club, well, we had to buy the land, and then we all dug the basement by hand.
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
Was that a big job?
Oh, I guess it was. And we hauled the gravel, and then we hired a contractor to put up the cement blocks, and then we done the rest.
Did you take time off of all the guys' jobs to?
No, this was all spare time.
Spare time.
Yeah.
A lot of dedication, eh?
You bet.
Yeah. Okay. How did you raise the money to build the club and buy the property then?
Well, we had parties there, and we had dances, and we charged admission, and then the women got involved into a ladies club with us, and they were helpful to us, you know, raising money. So, well, when we built the club, I was manager at the time. In fact, I've been the manager there the most, the longest. And in order to start this new club, well, we had me and another guy, two other guys. We went down to Negani to the what's that lumber yard out there? I forget. We asked them if they would float a loan. Give us a loan, or so we could buy material on credit.
Yeah.
So they gave us credit for up to a certain amount, and then we'd nail that on and use that up. Well, then after that was gone, we would
have to pay.
Yeah, have to pay them, and then go get some more.
Yeah.
So they were independent lumberyard. That's what it was. Neely was the owner.
Okay. Could you explain how the new club was built? You already answered that question.
Mm-hmm.
And what memories stand out most in your mind about the construction process?
Well, George Johnson, he was a contractor by trade, and we were fortunate to have him as a member. He was a good leader as far as carpentry was concerned. He knew everything about carpentry.
Yeah.
And and then, like the rest of the guys, like myself and the rest of them, none of us ever knew too much about carpentry and stuff like that, but he would direct us and...
He'd just do all the work.
He knew how to phase out work. He'd put you here and he'd put somebody else up on the roof and, you know what I mean? It was a cooperative deal.
Yeah. He just told you where to go and what to do.
He was good that way.
Mm-hmm.
And of course we had our arguments too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody would get bad and say, well, I'm going home, I'm going to quit, and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they all come back.
Yeah, you always get stuff like that going. Okay. What memories stand out most in your mind about, well, you just answered that one. So could you describe all the ways that women have been involved in the club over the years?
Yeah, the women were a big help to our club. In fact, when we built the club, we had a kitchen down in the basement. And the women, they supplied that kitchen with electric stove and refrigerators and dishes and the sink, the whole bit, you know, they were a big help.
Big help. Okay, what kinds of things do the members do while they are at the club? Basically pool, and do you have a TV there?
Yeah, we got a TV. We got two pool tables. We got a big 8 foot table, eight or nine feet.
8 foot.
The bigger ones.
Them are 9 feet.
Yeah, we got the big ones.
Uh-huh.
And down the basement, then we got a smaller one upstairs on the first floor. And we play cards, cribbage. We got a cribbage league and we got a pool league. I mean, we belong to a pool league and we belong to a cribbage league. So,
do you have like competitions in that, or do you just play for fun?
During the league it's competition, but then when the club members play by themselves, generally they play for a treat.
Yeah, just for something.
And then we got dartboards in there, of course, and what else? But like I say, we got enough.
Yeah. A lot of stuff to do then. Okay, see where are we? Okay, how many officers are there and what are their duties?
Well, we got what we call a manager. We don't have a president, but the manager is the president. He resides besides at the meetings and stuff like that. And we got a treasurer and an inventory man. We take inventory once a week, so we always know what our finances are.
Uh-huh.
We count the inventory men. We got two of them, and they count all our material there. And then the treasurer's got how much money was taken in and how much money was spent. So we got a running account of it. What's happening throughout the week.
Okay. How often were the meetings held that they decided? Stuff like that?
And we always, once a month we hold our meetings the second Tuesday of every month.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, like I said, we had meetings once a month. And that's another thing I think it's really necessary of a club is to have meetings regularly, and that way the membership knows what's going on, and those members that don't come to the meetings will have no reason to bitch or complain about the operation of the club.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Have you ever been an officer of any kind, or?
Yes, I've been an officer more times than I want to remember. I was an officer when it started. I was
Manager?
Manager.
Yeah.
And I've been manager. Now, I haven't now for the last 10 years. I haven't even been in an office.
Okay, what memories stand out in your mind about being the manager and stuff like that? Being an officer, basically.
Well, I know. I remember one time I was an officer at the club there. And I was a manager. And this was during Christmas. It was Christmas time. And I had just eaten dinner at home, and I was laying down there, and somebody came and knocked on my door, and he said, "Hey, Gob," he said, there's trouble at the club. So I got up, I went up to the club, and there I was downstairs there, and I'm not going to mention his name, but he must have been a little shined up or something.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that, "Gob Arvola," he said, "who do you think you are?" And he hit me in the face. He damn near knocked me out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I shook myself and I got the hold of him, and I hit him too. But anyway, what happened there, I got a layoff. I got a suspension from the club for 30 days.
Mm-hmm.
Being manager, and I was expelled from the club for 30 days. I still had to do the manager job.
But you just couldn't go down to the club or anything?
No. The only time I would go down there was when I had to buy material or pay some bills or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting. Do you have any? Do any of your family members belong to the club?
My son does, yeah.
Your son does. Your son. What did you say his name was?
Mike.
Mike, yeah, Mike. Okay. Over the years, what kinds of friendly competitions have you held with other local members, like horseshoes or anything like that?
Yeah, we always have a intra-club competition with the Brownstone Club in. Junction Club and National Mine Club and different clubs that we all either crib, mostly cards.
Mostly cards.
Inter-club competition.
Okay, in general over the years, could you describe some of the most interesting or humorous events that have taken place at the clubs?
Been a lot of them, but I wouldn't dare tell.
A lot of them,
I wouldn't dare tell that. It wouldn't be.
For the it would be. Recorder, yeah. Yeah. Okay, then, could you describe what your co-members are like?
Well, like in any organization, you got good ones and you got bad ones. I wouldn't say bad ones, but,
they don't participate as much as the
other ones. Yeah. Like over the years that I've noticed, if you want something done to the club or some kind of a work bee or something like that,
mm-hmm.
you can always bet that there's going to be the same guys.
Yeah.
I'd say about, like in our club now, I would say there's about 15, 20 guys that you could nearly bet that they're going to be there to help.
Yeah, you could count on them.
Yeah.
Not
the
kind of guys you like.
Yeah. And then again, there's some guys that you just, I wouldn't say detest, but you don't want to do nothing with them.
They don't want to participate as much as the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how has the club's activities and events changed over the years?
They've changed.
You've developed a cribbage league and that.
Yeah, and before, the younger generation been changing since when I was young. They don't do what I done when I was young. What I mean is that their mode of fun or their mode of it's different than I was. I always thought, like when I was their age, well, I'd go, we'd go out the woods and stuff like that. We'd be playing ball and stuff.
They build forts and stuff.
And it isn't like that anymore.
Yeah. Okay. Has the club faced any difficult problems or letdowns during the year or history of it?
Yeah, one time, nothing difficult, but I mean, there've been some times that you're kind of anxious, like a lot of times, and when you're going by here, and then you see a state police car go by, or else the sheriff's department, would you wonder why are they going around here, you know? There's nothing that we've ever done that warranted a cop to come into our club. But that's never happened, so.
Yeah.
So like I said, but nevertheless, you wonder.
Yeah. Okay, why is the club important to you? And it's just, you grew up with it and stuff.
Yeah, the club is, the reason it's important to me, and I don't want to see that club fail, simply because me and these three people were the ones that started the club. And,
yeah.
And so to me, it's more important than to anybody. I'm the only living member now that started this club.
Okay.
The other two people, they've died. So.
Mm-hmm. So it's important.
So it's important to me that the club grows as it does.
Okay, and I think we've already answered that question about why the club survived because of earlier in the interview. And what direction would you like to see the club take in the future?
Well, what I would like to see it, I would like to see it continue the way it has been, because the way we got it now, we got good members in our club, and the way it's going is it's going in a in the right direction. In fact, we hold a monthly meeting, and every month there's always somebody that wants to join the club.
Yeah.
And in order to join the club, you got to be 21 years old, you got to be 21 years old, and you pay $20 to join.
Yeah.
And from then on, you got to keep paying your dues, you know. So,
mm-hmm.
It is, like I said, it's a good club.
Okay. And if you had to do it all over again, would you choose the same careers and jobs you did?
I wouldn't go underground.
No.
Of course, there's no such a thing as underground mining now anyway.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't change.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to have stayed with the conservation department longer, but the money wasn't there.
Yeah, because no winters.
Yeah, and you were laid off in the wintertime.
Yeah.
So when I was working for the conservation department, all I was getting was $75 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And raising a family on $75 a month, that was hard to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, in closing, is there anything else you would like to add about yourself or the club? Of anything?
I don't have any regrets, I know that. That's why the club is good.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, it's I never dreamt, I'll never forget when we first started this club, there was a guy that didn't belong to the club at the time, but he eventually did. But he told me, he said that this club is never going to last. And when we were building the old club there, well, I had to go and get some fuel oil because we had a fuel oil stove in there. And I had to go get some fuel oil, so I got it from Russi Vivian. And Russi told me that I wanted 100 gallons of fuel oil. He said, "Who's going to pay for that?" I said, "The club will pay for it." And he said, "That club will never buy." He said, "That club will never, it'll never last." He said, we had a club like that in Barnum, and it only lasted for about a year, and it busted. He said, "Your club is going to bust too." So, but anyway, he gave us the oil, and our club never busted. It's still going.
50 years almost, no.
Yeah, 50 years.
Okay, is that it then?
Yeah.
Okay, then I'd like to say thank you for your time.
That's quite all right. I enjoyed myself.
Yeah, I appreciate your answering my questions and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's good. I'm glad I could help.
Okay, me too. My pleasure.
Yeah.
I'll stop the recorder.